Thank you for tuning into the season two premiere of PolitiTalk with Lane Palmer. I was going to wait to make my next episode until after the inauguration, but as things have been progressing, I felt that I really needed to make a video today to just kind of get my thoughts out about what's going on. Joining me is my first ever guest that I have on the podcast, Riley. And so, Riley, let me go ahead and just ask you, for anybody who has not been on Facebook or checked the news today, what is going on?
That's quite a question, because today started very differently than how we thought the news cycle would end, right? Because, well, I guess some of us. So it started out with the runoff election in Georgia from last night, kind of narrowing it down. They thought they were going to have everything possibly said last night, and I think they had the Warnock victory handed to him last night, but Ossoff was still kind of up in the air today, and they kind of decided that in the morning hours, Eastern time, I think. And then pretty quickly after, things kind of devolved and got into something a little more interesting at the Capitol. So when they were trying to figure out the electoral votes and solidify everything with Biden, there were some, would you call them protesters? What would you call them, Lynn?
I would not call them protesters. No, that's not the language I would use. I have seen that language used throughout every news cycle that has been playing this story. And as it is right now, as we're recording it, things are still developing. This is an ongoing story. No, I would call them rioters. I would call them looters. I would call them terrorists.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, they decided they wanted to take matters into their own hands and literally breach the Capitol building, which I was reading something had not been done since the year 1814, I want to say, the War of 1812.
Wow.
I also saw an image of somebody, well, there were a lot of images, but one of them being somebody carrying a Confederate flag through the Capitol building, which was just funny because according to a historian, and I can try to find all these sources and send them to you later, had never been done. There was never a Confederacy flag flown or walked through the Capitol building, like, ever. Mm. I don't know the legitimacy of that claim, but I can look into that. But lots of firsts today, basically.
Lots of firsts. Lots of unfortunate seconds, it sounds like. I didn't realize that this had even happened before. Obviously not something that has ever happened in our parents' or grandparents' generation, their lifetime. I want to go back to the beginning of the day. The big news cycle that broke out was that Trump held a rally with all of his supporters there. Very few masks, if any, of course. Basically saying that he is not going to concede ever. What was your initial reaction when you heard that? Or if you're hearing it now for the first time, what is your response?
This is my first time, maybe second time hearing about it. I have been taking a social media break, so I haven't been on Twitter nearly as much as I was last year for my own health, because I definitely needed it. But I saw the video, or at least a clip of what he had been saying to supporters, which was just kind of the run of the mill, you know, we're not going to concede. There are X amount of states that are on our side. They know they have fraudulent elections. They want to see them overturned. We're not done yet. That sort of sentiment. Mm-hmm. So none of that was new to me. It was surprising that after all of the legal battles that I guess have already happened, that he was still going to go for all of this with this much fervor. Mm-hmm. I guess I shouldn't be surprised, because what else has he got to lose at this point?
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that definitely slipped my mind in comparison to then what he said later during/after this Capitol breach with his recorded statement that he put out. So it's kind of, today kind of felt like when COVID first quote-unquote hit Ohio, where the news cycle was just so constant and there was new stuff coming out kind of every 30 minutes to an hour or so, very late-breaking type thing. So that had completely gone from my mind before, you know, even just talking to you now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think the final thing that kind of got the crowd riled up the most was Trump calling out Pence and stating that if he doesn't do something to stop this, he's going to be very disappointed. At that point, the crowd started chanting obscenities about Pence. And
Last night?
No, this morning.
Oh.
This morning when he had his rally. Yeah, he said, if Mike Pence doesn't stop this, I'm going to be very disappointed in him. And we have reports now of people who are actually breaching the Capitol saying, bring me Pence, bring him to me.
Really?
So putting his own vice president in danger, what is your response to that?
Wow, I was not really aware of that. I guess, I don't really know. I think Trump has always been himself in the sense of a cult leader being, you know, the one and only person that people look up to. I think when people look at the Trump presidency, who are favorable of the Trump presidency, they aren't immediately going to Pence, obviously. They're looking right at Trump as their kind of figurehead. So in the same way, when someone so close to Trump goes against him, like a lot of other Republican politicians have, it makes sense for people to kind of immediately flip the script and be like, I was in support of you, and then you said this against Trump, and now I'm against you.
Yeah.
So that doesn't completely shock me, but interesting that they decided to have the gall to go into the Capitol building and say, bring me Mike Pence.
Yeah, well, it seemed as though they were actually going in there more or less to target Republican leaders who were not defending Trump. I mean, people were even going after Mitch McConnell and going into his office as well. I mean, even though we do have the reports of people who went into Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi's office, a lot of Republican Congress people were targeted as well. What does this say about the power that Trump holds in terms of his supporters, basically being able to switch them in terms of getting them to target people on their own side? Is that concerning? Is that just run-of-the-mill for Trump?
I mean, it's both. It's just this absolute blind faith that we've seen from Trump supporters for a while, where they, from the beginning, thought he was going to bring that change that they wanted to see. Maybe in their eyes he did, he didn't. And if he didn't, maybe he's still working on it to them. It's just this, he's our guy, he's got it in for us. It's something that I would love to have called my father before this call, because I found out through my sisters that he would have gone today if it weren't for the fact that he had to work. Now, he lives in central Pennsylvania, give or take, so that would have been, you know, a bit of a drive, but still the fact that he was seriously considering to come is something. But I would have loved to have gotten his thoughts on it, because from the beginning, he has always been in Trump's corner and has just, you know, really idolized him and blindly followed him, in my opinion. And I would love to hear from him his take on this, because it's just, you got your blinders up, you know.
What can Trump supporters say to this? I mean, do you anticipate a lot of people distancing themselves from Trump at this point in time, or do you still see his firm foundation and his supporters standing?
I don't think any of his supporters are pointing the finger at Trump, right? I think they saw the call, or the rally earlier today and agreed with it because they're still in his corner. And looking at what happened at the Capitol today, I think there's kind of a mixed bag in response to the people there who actually broke in versus the people that were quote-unquote peacefully protesting outside, which I think there were parties in both of those buckets, to be clear. Of course, all you see are the people actually breaking into the building, but I'm sure that there were people just outside just protesting because, I mean, ideally they knew that breaking into the Capitol building would be a federal crime, but, you know, you don't know. All that being said, I did listen to some C-SPAN and got a couple of, you know, viewpoints from different sides. So there were some people that said, you know, Trump is completely in the right here. We've had, oh, they said something about our Capitol building has been overrun with communists slowly over the last 60 years, and we got to get them out. This is our time. And then we've had people say, this is definitely completely on Trump. I don't know how he hasn't said anything yet to kind of revoke or, you know, vocally say, let's put a stop to this. And then there are people in the middle who support the people who broke into the building and literally broke the building. And they support what they're behind and what their message is. But when prompted by the C-SPAN reporter as to what should be done with these people who broke into the building, they're like, well, they should be arrested because they broke the law and that's not how we should go about this. Mm-hmm. So it's not like it's a cult mentality in the sense of everybody's completely on the same page. Mm-hmm. They all definitely want similar things from Trump and from the events of today, but they're going about it in different ways. So there's definitely extremism in different bits of the right.
So do you believe that these people genuinely think the election was stolen and that Trump actually won? Like, or do you think that they know that those claims are false, but they still want them in there anyway?
I'm sure there's people on both sides, but I think it leans towards people actually believing that it was a rigged election. This year was so unique in many ways, obviously, and I don't think people understand it, that mail-in voting is a legitimate form of voting. Mm-hmm. And that voter fraud in that form is pretty rare. Mm-hmm. There was, I think, one case in Pennsylvania of somebody trying to write Trump, actually, instead of Biden, and switch a vote that way. Or maybe that was the one where they threw a couple ballots out. There have been a few cases, is my point. Mm-hmm. But those are the exception, not the rule. Mm-hmm. So I do think that they legitimately believed that this election was rigged, whether it was because of mail-in voting, whether it was because of people just wanting to get rid of Trump, and that's their, you know, one purpose in life at this point, what have you. There's a lot of reasons, but it does seem to me that the majority believe that the election was legitimately rigged. Mm.
And what is your response to the poorly executed defense of our state building? I mean, it seems as though that these people were just simply able to walk in and plant their feet on Nancy Pelosi's desk. I mean, where was the National Guard? Where were the law enforcement? What happened in your mind? Were they just not, I mean, were they not as prepared as they were for the Black Lives Matter protest? Or like, what happened?
Oh, well, you know the answer to that. Again, I mean, everything is still unfolding, so we don't quite know everything. But from what I have seen, security was not the best. There was, you know, Capitol Hill police there doing their job. There was one video I saw where there were police barricading a group of people behind some metal fencing. And then for some reason, at one point, they just removed the fencing and let them walk towards the Capitol building, or at least it appeared to be towards the Capitol building. The issue is with the video clip that I saw, they didn't actually pan around to show where the police were letting them into what area. Mm-hmm. It did look like the Capitol building, but again, it wasn't shown explicitly, so I can't really say. Mm-hmm. There was another video of quite a large group of, I'm using heavy air quotes, protesters, who were already well into the building. I don't know what building or what part, mm-hmm. but there were three or four flights of staircases up. And there was one police officer who seemed to have a baton and was trying to get this group of people to back off or at least stay where they were, but didn't seem to be like wholeheartedly trying to keep them to back off, because they ended up going up about three flights of steps and into like a large room that had many different doorways and whatever. So I don't know what happened in their initial response, because to my knowledge, people had actually seen this coming. There was a lot of talk on social media that there was going to be a protest today of some sort, regardless of Georgia, regardless of, you know, anything that they had heard about Biden versus Trump in the days before. They were going to continue their protest at the Capitol. I don't know to what extent they'd said online that they were going to physically go into the building and break into the building, but they had to have been aware.
Mm-hmm.
I think there was actually, I don't know if I'm remembering correctly, so apologies if this is wrong, but there was somebody, a reporter, that posted a photo of a desktop in Nancy Pelosi's office,
mm-hmm.
where the email was still up, and there was an alert bulletin from basically saying, you know, evacuate the area, you know, go to these places, what have you. But I think somebody had said there was an email beforehand that had been from yesterday, I think, that said something along the lines of, you know, be prepared that something might happen tomorrow. So internally, it seemed like staff and personnel knew something was going to happen. I don't understand why the Department of Defense didn't launch the National Guard, or they had denied the request to do so, and then later
initially.
On, Mike Pence that said, you know, actually go, you know, bring out the National Guard because there are people breaking into the Capitol building. So that combined with the lack of police brutality, you know, there's definitely a very strong dichotomy to draw between the protests that have been happening over the last 6 months and honestly the last like 6 years, you know, back to Mike Brown and everything, compared to what we saw today, where there were, you know, just an equal amount of bodies, if not more, to some of the protests that we've seen at the Capitol building. And the police response to it, I don't know if they responded the way they did because they didn't have enough force behind them initially, because the DOD denied any requests for National Guard and extra support, or because they were white, and, you know, they were, like, I was everywhere online is saying that the quote-unquote protesters and the police that were there is that meme image of the two Spider-Men pointing at each other, where it's the same guy, so I think that's kind of my personal take on how that all went down. Did you, I got a notification earlier, do you have any additional info on the actual violence that went on in the building or once the police got there? Because I had heard there were some reports of bombs being sent to the Republican caucus and to the Democratic caucus, and some woman got shot in the neck, and I just got an alert that she actually passed away.
Yeah.
I don't know anything beyond those, you know, taglines, but
I know I saw the news articles about the pipe bombs. I saw there were gunshot holes in the state house through the windows, and it still had Congress people. Actually, they were still on the floor at that point in time.
Really?
Not all the Congress people were able to get out in time to go to secure locations. So there were some Congress people still in the room when the terrorists came in. So that was really scary. We have reports of them actually taking off their pins to try and hide the fact that they were senators.
Oh, wow.
We're getting some very sad reports about how a lot of them were actually texting their families goodbyes, because they weren't sure if they were going to survive this or not. It's heartbreaking. It's shocking. I don't anticipate that anybody really knew what was going to happen today. And I think obviously Trump is to blame for inciting a lot of this. If you had to blame anyone or anything else, who else would you be holding accountable for the events that took place today?
I mean, it didn't unexpectedly happen overnight. You know, this has been years and years and years and years and years, upon decades, upon centuries of core issues within our government and within our institutions that have brought us to this moment. It's very easy in the immediate sense to say this incident was incited by Trump because his supporters were loyal to him and wanted him to stay in office, and they harbor any kind of hatred or disdain or whatever towards Democrats. But Democrats are nearly the same side of the coin as Republicans. You know, they're just a little more I don't think the word is chill about it, but you know, they're not as upfront about certain things. You know, there's a lot of issues just solely under capitalism alone, that our two-party system is not set up in a way that benefits, you know, normal working class people like ourselves. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of hard to pinpoint, oh, this is the exact thing that brought us to this moment, because there's just so much that goes into it. But obviously President Trump didn't come right out and say, hey, knock it off, go home. Mm-hmm. So if we can't make the argument that he incited it, we can at least make the argument that he never said, hey, knock it off.
Right. I worry about the influence of Fox News as well. I mean, I know, of course, there's a shift in viewership now because they have been forced to require their newscasters to talk about the legitimacy of the election, because there are lawsuits that could occur if they continue spinning the narrative that Trump is spinning. How, if anything, do you think Fox News should be handled moving forward? Is there, I guess maybe even news organizations in general, is there something that can be done to hold them more accountable for what they report on, how quickly they report on things, the factual evidence of what they report on? Do you think there's something that can change about that? Or do you think it's always just going to be kind of more opinion-based than factual-based?
There's always going to be human error, especially in reporting things moment by moment as they happened earlier today. You know, I think, like you said, it's kind of all news media needs to kind of get on the same page about trying to be actively as unbiased as possible. CNN is as bad as Fox and vice versa. And, you know, I can name every other media company that's out there. But mm-hmm. yeah, there's always going to be some sense of how thoroughly was this fact-checked, for me at least, when consuming news. Mm-hmm. I try to, as much as possible, kind of stick to getting my core news from AP News and Reuters? Sprouters? I don't know. I never said that out loud. I almost said Rutgers, and I know that's not right. But trying to stick to those news sources and then find supplemental information from MSNBC or Fox, or God forbid my father sends me something from Breitbart for the 40th time, you know, which again, I will look at it. A couple of weeks before the election, I ended up watching an hour and 40 minute long documentary about how the election was rigged against Trump, and the Democrats were against Trump and all this stuff. And I use documentary loosely. and it was from some, it wasn't even Breitbart, it was Breitbart adjacent and worse. And it was something like OregonGunMedia.com. And I don't even know. But point being, I will go ahead and watch those things that are fringe, mm-hmm. because I'm able, after looking at all this stuff from AP and, you know, 8 other sources, to kind of parse together, okay, well, that seems to have been fact-checked as incorrect in this one fringe media source, so I'm going to possibly ignore that, or at least keep it in the back of my head and look for any other things that might conflict it or verify it, you know? Mm-hmm. And I was talking to someone at work about this today, about how it's not just the role of the media to frame things correctly and try to be as unbiased as possible in their presentation and explicitly say, this is what we know, this is what we don't know in terms of facts. Mm-hmm. It's also up to the people consuming the news media to, for themselves, do what I just said and look at multiple sources of news and kind of figure out for themselves, you know, what actually seems like reliable news here. Because if you hear one thing off of Fox News or one thing off of ABC or whatever, and you just run with that, like, it's kind of what I was saying earlier with the tweets of, like, you know, I saw this thing, but it might not be real, or mm-hmm. it might be doctored or something. It's always, you have to have that caveat in your brain at all times, mm-hmm. both when you're watching it and when you're giving mm-hmm. the news mm-hmm. from both sides. So that's kind of my hot take on it.
No, that's a really good idea. I think that is something that people should be doing a lot more of, instead of just sticking to their one source and believing any and everything from it. Going back to what you had mentioned earlier, I think, one of the things that I tend to do pretty frequently is to check you know, Frock Snooze and things of that nature, mostly because I also want to see the reactions and the comments of what people are saying to the different articles that they post. It gives me a lot of insight into Trump supporters and Republican, you know, viewpoints that I often don't to get just in my social circle. I have friends who are Republicans. I have friends who are conservatives. I have families who...
Oh, I know. I've listened to your podcast.
Yeah, I've had family members who are Trump supporters. You're right. I would love to touch base with them after this to see what they would have to say about this. But on the topic of this being years in the making, I think you're absolutely right. If now that the Democrats, if things go smoothly and Joe Biden gets sworn in and everything happens that's supposed to happen, and the Democrats mess this up in terms of not giving the people what it is that they want, overwhelmingly in terms of the polls that we see, single-payer healthcare system, maternity leave, I've seen articles of people pushing now for mandatory vacation time. I mean, these are all things we would have thought impossible not even 8 years ago. If the Democrats don't do something to address these particular core issues that are facing millions upon millions of Americans, what will happen in your mind?
Well, I can almost guarantee that without a significant change in leadership, the same thing is going to happen. If you look at Biden's policies, he said something during the debates about, you know, I want to absolve student loan debt. And that was a pretty universal theme across the board when it came to the debate stage in the Democratic primary. Mm-hmm. And only a few weeks ago, he said something in an interview that rolled that back.
Yeah.
So when you have someone like Biden who's been in Congress for years and then in the White House as a vice president and then probably will be president for the next 4 years. It's hard because you have somebody that's been in there for decades, you know, so they're just kind of used to the way things go. And there are fresh faces in Congress and in, you know, legislative political positions across the country, but when you have that same group of leadership at the top that's just used to kind of the status quo, there's not going to be much change to begin with.
Mm.
So I think, honestly, I don't think a Joe Biden presidency is right for us. Do I think it's any better than a Trump presidency? Yes. Is it by much? Not a whole lot. Mm-hmm. Because I think on our current track, Joe Biden is just going to keep rolling out the policies of the Obama administration in that whole era and kind of try to slowly roll back some of the stuff that Trump did. I don't think anything radical is going to come out of this administration. And by radical, I don't mean, you know, extremist and like horrific to everybody and their mother. I mean, you know, substantial change that are kind of like Medicare for all and, you know, these things that we just referenced.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think those are coming in the next 4 years at this rate. And if they don't come, just like with the state of Black Lives Matter and how that's evolved in the last decade, it's been a minute that slogan has been out there. But this negative sentiment is just going to keep growing within the American people unless there is change.
Mm.
And that change is not going to come at this rate, at the rate that Biden and his administration would bring. So I think we're in for more of this.
Yeah, I mean, I just don't understand how the Democrats can be so blind as to how Trump got in the first place. I mean, it's easy to say things like his supporters are racist, his supporters white supremacists. But when you look down to the bare basics of what happened, people were tired of their medication prices skyrocketing almost every week. They're tired of their rent prices increasing every year. They're tired of being crushed by the weight of student loan debt and medical bills and not being able to have a savings. And how did the Georgia primary go? Oh, these people are running on socialist platforms. You have people saying, if you elect me, I'm going to... Well, yes, there is a caveat. But their main talking point that I tend to see a lot of is that they said, if you elect me, we are going to get a $2,000 stimulus check passed Joe Biden gets into office.
Yeah, that runoff was fully fueled by the $2,000 stimulus check.
So if the Democratic people turn their backs on the people who got them in there, keeping in mind that a lot of the liberal Democratic people who wanted Bernie voted for Biden, they put aside their differences, they voted for him. What will happen in 2 years in the midterms, in your mind?
Oh man, I could barely get through today. And you're asking me to think about 2 years in the future. I don't know.
I think they'll lose seats. They'll lose seats for sure.
Yeah, I mean, the fact that Georgia flipped blue not once but twice now, it's that alone is enough to me. That's pretty historic. Mm-hmm. So. Slowly but surely, we're moving in the right direction, I think, in terms of getting a larger mentality of people deserve these basic things that most other countries give their citizens. And we shouldn't have to scrape by just to survive, and we deserve getting help if we need it. Mm-hmm. So we're getting there slowly, but... it's hard.
Mm-hmm. I think if it doesn't happen fast enough, or if it doesn't happen in the way people want it to, they're going to retaliate, just like they did today.
It's too gradual, mm-hmm. is the issue, and it's been gradual for forever. Mm-hmm. Oh man, where do you think we go from here? What's tomorrow's headline? Maybe we start with that.
What I would like to see tomorrow is that they enact the 25th Amendment and they get Trump out of there early.
Mm. How plausible do you think that is? Because Representative Omar, I think, said something about actually pulling together impeachment articles to try to get that going again.
He's too dangerous to leave in there another 2 weeks. I'm sorry. I mean, this is the preliminary. If we think today is bad, wait until Inauguration Day. I mean, Joe Biden's life is in danger from this moment on until he's done being president or he's dead. Unfortunately, Kamala Harris, same thing. They have to do something. If they don't do anything, they're ensuring that something terrible will happen in the next few weeks. And that's just the truth. So, I don't know. What do you think?
I don't know. I was asking you so you would tell me. I don't know. It's crazy. Mm-hmm. I mean, in that same breath, I think we are kind of at a very extreme point in our country's recent history. But in the same breath, you know, my entire office kind of had like a, do we keep working? Do we not keep working kind of moment today? Mm. And most people kept working. And that's the sad thing, is that in ways life is going to go on despite all of this craziness. Yeah. And I guess I don't know whether that's a good or a bad thing, in the sense of people are resilient. They're going to keep moving forward, trying to maintain a quote unquote normal life despite all of this. But in the same breath, you know, how do you keep moving on when all this is in your face? But, mm-hmm. you know, there's a literal coup at your nation's capital. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, this is kind of maybe a vocal minority in terms of people that would actually go out and do all of this. But I'm sure there are a lot of people sitting at home that are kind of more, the word isn't disenfranchised, but maybe a little more laid back and less, you know, active about these kinds of things, that are looking at this and are like, yeah, I support what's happening at the Capitol right now because we need change and it needs to look like X, Y, and Z. Mm. So I don't know. I don't know how it's going to look.
Yeah. I think this is a faction moment. I think this is the moment where if you continue supporting Trump, you essentially are saying that you are okay with things like this happening and happening again in the future. I mean, that's just the bottom line. You're either with it or you're not. And I did see a lot of encouraging things from people who did vote Republican this past primary on Facebook, who are sharing that they are disgusted by the behavior that's going on. And that was really encouraging to see. But I think this is also going to have the opposite effect of people who are now going to hunker down even more and continue this. I mean,
go ahead.
No, what were you going to say?
I was going to ask, what timeline do you see with Trump? Let's say that somehow, maybe not somehow, the likely scenario is that Joe Biden will get sworn in 2 weeks.
Right.
Wow, 2 weeks.
2 weeks.
It's not even a full week into the new year, and we already had a coup at the Capitol building. Man. Mm-hmm. Anyway, in 2 weeks, Joe Biden gets sworn in. What do you think Trump's response is going to be, and where do you think he goes from there? Like, what does he do after this?
I've seen a lot of reports from different political analysts who anticipate that Trump is just simply going to go away after this is over. He's not going to have the power of the presidency at his fingertips. But I see the opposite. I see him getting totally unhinged in terms of not having the responsibilities of the presidency anymore, to where he can now focus solely on undermining our entire government system from the outside. And, you know, he couldn't do it from the inside, because our institutions were at least somewhat strong enough against his bombardment. But I think he can succeed from the outside. We very much know that he's probably going to run again in 2024. I mean, it's a given.
He's still with us.
Yeah. And if not him, then certainly one of his kids. So the Trump family is in it for the long haul. I mean, they are now the political family of the United States until something is done to quell them. But that will only happen again if the Democrats get their act together and start giving the people what they want. If they drag their feet, if they do not do what it is that they promised, the American people is going to go back to Trump, and they're going to have more votes than they did the last time. I hate to say that, but he will gain votes if they don't do something.
That is so interesting to hear that take. Mm-hmm. Not because I don't think that it's unrealistic, because I definitely think it's a possibility. Mm-hmm. It's just so interesting to look at Trump as a human.
Yeah.
And my limited just knowledge of his entire background in terms of the real estate mogul and his show and everything. And he's always been vocally political, but never seemed to kind of really like actually take charge himself, which is why it was so interesting. So funny in 2015 or whatever that he decided to run, and the fact that he got as far as he did is insane.
Yeah.
But you know, there's always the talking point of, oh, well, Trump used to be kind of like on the left with, you know, he was actually okay with abortion and all of these things. And then he flipped so quickly. And then also he was like really awful towards the Central Park Five and wanted them, you know, fucking drawn and quartered on the spot even, you know.
Mm-hmm.
He just flipped so back and forth so often in terms of his views.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just so interesting to me, because it's like, I honestly think he does it more for attention than anything else. I don't know if he genuinely cares about the state of the country in terms of policy or any kind of actual change, whether, like, regardless of what side that change is toward.
Mm-hmm.
It all seems to be narcissistic in its, you know, in its core.
Mm-hmm.
So it's interesting that you say he would probably pursue another run, because I feel like the counter argument would be, well, wouldn't you think he was burned before?
Mm.
But then he would say he was fake, and he would go back and forth, you know? He's just so, like, it's a fucking ping pong ball, I swear.
Yeah, I mean, he's in it for the money. I mean, think about how much money he's made just in terms of all of the golf outings that he's had. I think, what was that calculator that came out? I think in total, he spent like an entire year playing golf in his presidency. If you look at the days he was at a golf course, he's been there for like in a year, or at least over 300 days. I don't know. You could fact check me.
I should have done that with my tweets earlier. Okay, article as of December 30th, 2020. How many times has President Donald Trump played golf while in office?
It's insane.
There's a lot of info on how many golf courses he has, which is a lot. Oh my goodness.
What was it?
Oh, wait, no, I'm sorry. That's a very misleading way to read the...
Oh, did they... And it could be misleading. I just said that I had seen it.
No, I misread it. Hold on. His pace as of August 6, 2018, now indicates that Trump would spend as much as 745 days of his presidency at a golf course if he wins a second term and serves both terms to completion.
Wait, you said 700?
745.
Days playing golf.
Yeah, so Trump ended 2017 with 91 golf course visits and was just shy of 100 visits in year one as president. In his second year of president, he played golf 176 times.
Wow.
That's a lot of golf. It's not even that interesting of a sport.
It's not, but it gets him Secret Service, you know, having rooms at his resorts and spending money there and... I mean, he made a lot of money off of this presidency. I mean, let's just be honest.
Oh, wait, here's a better article from an actual... Oh, wait.
Oh, God.
There's a website called TrumpGolfCount.com.
Oh, no, what does it say?
Okay, all right, here is the legitimate... well, legitimate. In terms of daytime visits to golf clubs since inauguration, he has played golf 298 times.
See, yeah, almost 300.
So I think the other article was saying at that rate that he was going, he would have played 700X times if he had a second term. Wow. So the cost of the taxpayer is about $144 million.
And we can't have healthcare again? Is that what that's what we're saying?
Yeah, that's exactly why.
Let's have some final thoughts, because talking about this can kind of stress us out. But I think it's good to talk about this, because I needed to talk about this today, because I was so busy at work trying to keep up with the articles that let's stay a little hopeful at the end here. Let's say Joe Biden has a magic wand and he magically, within the next 2 years, is able to accomplish a lot of things. What are some things that you would like to see implemented within the next 2 years of a Joe Biden presidency?
You said final thoughts. This is a second whole episode, my friend. I want to see so much happen. Are you kidding? I mean, I think the first thing that comes to mind, especially after the heat of this summer, is honestly reforming the prison system and abolishing the police. Mm. Is that going to happen under Biden? A definitive no. But that system has... Oh, I'm not going to go into a lecture here, but that's... The prison pipeline is so pervasive and goes into so many different areas of our lives that we don't even recognize until somebody spells it out for us.
Yeah.
And it's been under our nose for years. Like, I mean, obviously since like the 80s, but mm-hmm. growing up I always saw signs of it, but I had no idea that they were signs of it.
Yeah.
And only now as an adult, when I'm seeing it more clearly or under a different lens, I guess, do I realize how absolutely screwed up it is. And obviously it disproportionately affects people who are Black, people who are Hispanic, you know, immigrants who are not quote unquote legal. That in and of itself would be such a monumental change that I think we would see from that a lot of changes in other systems.
Mm.
But in that same breath, a lot of other systems would need to change too in response to the prison system changing and police being abolished and, you know, do we do community quote unquote policing and things like that. So that's kind of where my thought goes to first. Mm. Second, is healthcare for everybody.
After a pandemic, Riley.
Where we have been given $1,800 total, when that could be, that's my rent for 2 months.
That's less than my deductible. If I get COVID and have to go to the hospital and get put on a ventilator, my deductible is $2,000.
I'm smiling, but know that on the inside I'm not. I'm smiling because I'm just in disbelief.
Isn't that crazy?
It's painful. It's beyond painful. It's really insulting, honestly, to be in the quote-unquote wealthiest, most well-off, most privileged country in the world, supposedly, and to not have basic needs met like this. And obviously, when I say healthcare for all, I mean all. Like, you
Everybody.
Do not need to be employed in order to be able to live. That shouldn't be a revolutionary concept. That should not be a radical concept.
Because
you've said this so much in your one healthcare episode that I have listened to, I think, twice, because I was just, like, feeling so validated during it. Because it's like, we shouldn't have to jump through all these hoops to just live.
Yeah, and you can still be employed and not even have health care if you're part-time or you don't get paid enough to pay your premium every month. I mean, it's insane.
It's legitimately criminal, or at least it should be criminal. And that is the second thing I would like for Joe Biden to do. Get rid of cops, make it criminal to not have health care. Mm. Or give health care, excuse me.
No, I think those are very good places to start. And you know,
I want to flip every question back on you, Lane.
Oh no, no. I concur. I completely agree. Those are the two main issues they must tackle, because black people is what got the Democrats where they are in Georgia, in the primary. I'm telling you, Riley, if they turn their backs, there is a reason why Trump nearly tripled the black turnout for his primary during this last election. And it's because they are so fed up. They have been living in chaos. And even though, yes, Trump is chaos, this is nothing to how black people have been living their entire lives under this system. Think about that. I mean, it's another 4 years. They can wait another 4 years until somebody else comes along. So, I mean, yeah, they have to start addressing it. And I mean, say what you want about Kamala. I mean, we know.
Well, she's the cop, so she has to be abolished.
We all know her history, but history is one thing. You know, progress is another. You gotta
absolutely. I mean, if she completely flips the script and goes against a lot of the BS that she did, absolutely, I'll be in her corner. That's, I mean, I think I said that on the first episode. It was basically, you know, it's one thing to have a long history of things and then say that you've changed your view on it and then actually move forward with that change and back up your word and actually put your foot forward. Mm-hmm. And then it's a different thing to be like, here is my background, but I want this now. And then you get elected and none of that happens, which is how I feel things are definitively going to happen for Biden. I'm optimistic, cautiously, that will not be the case for her, and that she will actually kind of change her mind, especially on some of the more prison industrial complex type things and LGBTQ things, and those in combination that were evident in her record previously.
Yeah.
But you never know. You never know.
Well, thank you so much again. Literally, guys, I was not planning on doing this at all. Literally contacted Riley maybe even an hour before we started recording. Thank you for always offering your insight. I thoroughly appreciate it. And yeah, the only thing we can do now is move forward. So thank you again for sharing your thoughts with me.
Thank you for sharing your thoughts with me.
All right. Thank you for listening.